John D. Yoder was born May 5, 1886, in Newton County, Indiana. He spent part of his youth on a farm near Thomas, Oklahoma. He moved to a new Amish settlement in Nowata, Oklahoma, with his wife, Catherine, and was ordained a minister there in 1941, and in 1943, he was ordained bishop. The aptly named Amish community suffered famine and finally disbanded because of rain, lack of rain, that is. The budget scribe for the area wrote once, "We should have paid more attention to the name of our town before moving there. It truly means no water." John D. moved to Reno County in the early 1940s and for a time rented the Joe Utsi place on Dean Road, just south of Trails West Road. He worked as a carpenter here in the community to support his family of 9 children, and on occasion even had a crew of several people working for him. One of his projects, which still stands, is the original 6-stanchion dairy barn on the Levi Miller farm. Levi was Ollie Emma's father, and it is now used to store sweet potatoes for Dwight and Karen's potluck. He was a kind-hearted man, but of little means, and often late with his rent, $10 a month, for the farmhouse he lived in. And John D. would come to Joe Utsi, the landlord, and he'd say, "I'm so sorry, I'm late again with the rent. There just doesn't seem to be enough money to reach around." And Joe Utsi said at least once, he said, "Oh, John, don't fret. There's no use in both of us worrying about it." The church decided to help out this minister in need and raised money to buy a plot of land on Riverton Road from Melvin Yoder. That would be Joe's father here. They moved a little house onto there for John D. and Katie, as she was called, to live in. That's the place where Bethany Salt now lives. John built a little workshop near the house. It's the building in which Marion Yoder set up a tea room several years ago before she died. Some of you will remember that. John took on bishop oversight of the North District of the Amish Church after Jake Miller died in 1951. Jake would have been the bishop, and he was Enos Miller's father, Alva Miller's grandfather. Some of you know him. Willie Wagler was a minister with him. Amos Knisley was ordained in 1952, and David L. Miller was ordained in 1954. These were his co-ministers. And I'm just curious, right, and I'm going to stop and see, is there anyone here today who was baptized between 1951 and 1958 in the Amish church here with John D. Yoder officiating? We've got one, we have some hands. Look at that. So I'd better watch what I say here, because you are taking close notes. Does anyone here remember sermons by John D.? A few of you, surely the ones who were baptized do. Well, I'm going to explain just a little bit. There were 3 church districts at that time in the 50s. There was a north-south division, which was Dean Road. Everybody east of there was in the east district, and everybody west was in the west district. And then the west district got divided north and south along Morgan Road. That's the road right out here. So there are 3 districts there. And let's see here. One of the things that's worth pointing out is this was called Ama'ek, or the other corner, by Amish people who lived in Yoder. So that was this place. And an unusual thing happened here. In October of 1948, the Amish on the west side here started meeting for Wednesday evening prayer meetings. That was almost unheard of for Amish people to do. And they met in the schoolhouse just down the road here at the corner. That was what we call the beginnings of the reform movement in the Amish church here that eventually led to being Beachy Amish. By 1957, there were 19 pickup trucks in use by Amish church members, and there were others who neglected their horses and buggies in favor of driving a Mayrath. Just imagine a slightly grown-up go-kart built for two with a Briggs & Stratton engine in the back. These things could be purchased and used, and people did. Perry L. Miller, who sits here, went and got some education at Eastern Mennonite College and began teaching at Elmhurst School in 1954. He drove a Mayrath to work. When he took more classes at Sterling College, he worked out a deal to use a car from Dan Utsi, who started Fairview Service over here and sold used cars. About this time, John D., we're back to John D. Yoder now, the bishop, Amish bishop, came to Perry and said, in your circumstances, with that weak leg, it would be all right if you bought and used a pickup. So Perry bought himself a used GMC with a Power Glide transmission to go to Sterling and back. John D. was elderly compared with the other ministers at that time, and his sermon themes were usually of loyalty and mercy, and they were considered a bit tedious, and his monotone voice seemed dull to the young whippersnappers of the day, especially compared to the rousing style and the progressive themes of Willie, David, and Amos. But he did retain his good humor and his kind disposition, even while fellow ministers talked about transitioning to Beachy Amish. I'm told that the last Sunday that everyone met as an Amish church, John D. got up to announce the next church service, and he said, things are coming to a head. I cannot leave the Amish church. So the next time we meet at Dan M. Nisley's place for a church, those who feel like I do can come there. He did wish a blessing on the new church, which is Center. He said, we want to have this parting of ways just as friendly as possible. There are only a few families left on the west side of Dean Road after Center Church started, and they consolidated with the East District, where John Mast was a newly ordained bishop at that time. John D.'s wife, Katie, is buried in West Center Cemetery. She died in 1963. There was a plot reserved for him next to her, but he became feeble and moved to Kelowna, where his daughter, Susan Bender, cared for him until he died in 1968, and he's buried there, not here by his wife. All of John D.'s children have died by now. You might know a couple grandchildren in the community. Hank Yoder of South Hutch Pizza fame is a grandson. And Ivan Miller, the retired bishop of Plainview, who farms east of Hutch, those are both John D. Yoder's grandsons. John D. wasn't polished in more ways than one. He spoke simply, and words did not come easy for him, said Paul Miller. He said he'd often stand when he was preaching and he would kind of rub the back of a chair to kind of get his thoughts going a little bit. He was portly and he enjoyed eating. And Harley Wagler told me that you could tell what he had for breakfast by examining the evidence in his long beard. And at the communal meal after church, he often added molasses to his beard's food tableau. Now, I can tell you, this is a real concern for some of us who don't nip our chin hairs short. People can see what we've been eating, and if we have poor aim or if we neglect our after meals grooming. And this leads to some amusement and some embarrassment sometimes. I'll just share, I was once a guest at Maddie and Sam Bender's house in Lancaster County, and we had soft eggs for breakfast, and Maddie told me you've got egg in your beard and you really should shave that part right under your mouth there. It's my favorite part of my beard. She just told me that. Yeah, so it's a problem, but we work with it as best we can. I'm going to suggest that even those of us who have no beards to catch the evidence or who fastidiously wash our faces still exhibit to those we meet elements of our diet. And I'm not just talking about literal food here. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Abraham Lincoln said, and I don't have his quote exactly, he said, you can't hold people responsible for how their face looks, at least until they're over 20 years old, and then of course they're responsible for how their face looks. Someone else once said, it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. And I think that's a little bit what Abraham Lincoln was getting at, is what you think shows up on your face, what you cultivate. So the takeaway that I want to have from this is not to get too overly distressed about the next fad diet, but think a little more, a little less about what goes into my mouth and a little more about culturing right thoughts and right attitudes, because beard or no beard, those around me will be able to tell what is inside me, what I value, what I believe, by how I present to them. When I die, may I be remembered not like the infamous Ahab of our Sunday school lesson today, but more like John D. Yoder, who cultivated simplicity and used his position of power to encourage rather than intimidate, and who died as he lived, a man of peace. Let's all stand for prayer. Lord, please help each of us to cultivate kindness and mercy and loyalty, and to temper our striving for preeminence and our conspicuous consumption with these values. May we not only concern ourselves with eating healthy food, but also remember to feed well our souls. May we build your church with contentment and with humility. In Jesus' name, amen.